From coast to coast across America, it's the U.S. Property Podcast with the latest real estate news, interviews, and market trends.
And welcome back to the U.S. Property Podcast as we focus on the very latest in real estate property news from around the country with trends, yes, forecasts, yes, and predictions. And we are available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, as well as Amazon. And good morning to you. If you are a new listener, don't forget you can email us to uspropertypodcast@gmail.com. Once again, that is uspropertypodcast@gmail.com. We love getting your emails. Well, mortgage rates in early 2024 hover just below the 7% mark. That is inching up from the previous year of 2023. For the week ending February 29, the average 30-year fixed rate was sitting at 6.94%. Despite this rise, experts anticipate rates to ease as the Federal Reserve plans rate cuts. However, of course, whether this will significantly impact home affordability is the $6 million question. Plenty of uncertainty there. And predictions vary, with Freddie Mac forecasting rates to stabilize above 6.5% this quarter, and Fannie Mae expecting a gradual decline to 5.9% by the end of the year. Now, amidst these forecasts, the decision to refinance really does depend on individual circumstances, with experts once again suggesting waiting for lower rates or considering a shorter-term loan. Shopping around is the absolute key to all of this. You've got to do plenty of that and due diligence. Well, this morning we are catching up with Richard Barkham, the global chief economist from CBRE, and he is based in Dallas. And good morning to you, Richard. Welcome to the US Property Podcast. Great to have you on.
Hi, glad to be here.
Now, tell us a little bit about your team, because I was just having a look. Now, you, as I mentioned, you are the global chief economist there for CBRE, and you've got nearly 600 or over 600 research experts who you are working with. It's a lot of people.
It is a lot of people. Let's put it in context. CBRE has over 100,000 employees in total and is 380 offices around the world, and is the world's biggest real estate services company. And our professionals and our clients rely on us for information. My team around the world is very active in digging out the key information that people need to understand and evaluate with regard to real estate. Everything from rents to vacancies to what kind of companies are in the market looking for space, what kind of companies are giving up space. You name it in real estate, we research it.
You know, one of the great things, because CBRE is global, and you touched on it right there, the fact that the team is right around the world, you're able to get a very good, through the data collection, you're able to really get a very good global handle on what is happening around the world economically.
Yes, that's right. Quite often, some regions move ahead of other regions. So what we might be seeing in Europe will influence the United States a little bit later, and vice versa. What we see in APAC or in America will influence other markets. So we're able to, by looking at all global markets, just make sure that we're in touch with the leading edge trends in real estate. And quite often, they spread out around the world.
How busy were you last year in 2023, given that it really was a year like no other in terms of what was happening in the economy, what was taking place with real estate? and so many talking points in 2023. What were a couple for you, for your money, what was a couple of the major key things that you were constantly talking about, trying to get your head around with you and your team there for 2023? What was that?
Well, it's funny you should say that. I always tell people that uncertainty creates work for economists and researchers. And I think 2023 just went really quickly. We were very busy. As a whole, as a company, I think probably less busy than previous years because of the downturn in the investment market. But the standout for me, I think, would be the banking crisis that erupted in April, but never really transpired. I think people were talking about a great financial crisis when SVB went down. We had to, you know, get out our great financial crisis playbook and sort of work out what happens when banks get into trouble, what the impact on the real estate market would be. But as it happens, I think the Fed and the FDIC and the banking authorities and central banks in Europe as well, they also got out their great financial crisis playbooks and they got their arms around the banking sector very quickly and enabled the banks to stabilize their deposit outflows and, you know, just stabilize the negative sentiment around the banking sector. That could easily have turned into a recession. But in fact, it went away very quickly because of prompt action. So I think that was one of the things that really, you know, surprised me about 2023. And I think the other thing, which was both helpful and unhelpful from a real estate perspective, was that the US GDP growth surprised on the upside. Everybody was expecting a recession, but actually we got growth of probably around 2.4%. Why is that good? Well, of course, it keeps real estate fundamentals sound, which it has done by and large. Why is it bad? Well, it keeps interest rates higher for longer. So I think, you know, that was the surprise, that the upside in US GDP growth and interest rates did not come down. In fact, they went up higher than we expected. You know, that was just a few of the things that kept us busy in 2023.
All right. So that's sort of a bit of a reflection point, having a look back to last year for 2023. Of course, we are in 2024 now. So what I'll do is I'll get you to put those rose-tinted glasses on, whether or not they're rose-tinted or charcoal. But let's have a look at Q1 for the US real estate sector. Of course, CBRE very heavily involved in the commercial space. So, gee, where can we go from here? Perhaps a bit of an overview for Q1 and how you think real estate in general might go.
Well, the level of investment transactions, in other words, investors buying commercial real estate for their portfolios, pension companies, insurance companies, REITs and private investors, they have been very quiet in 2023. And I think, you know, if we look at the Q1 of 2024, I think they'll probably be quiet over that quarter. Now, what really determines their outlook on 2024 is just interest rates. And behind interest rates, it's inflation. And of course, we've had a couple of months of good news about inflation coming down in the United States, and markets are all beginning to price and think about the Fed funds rate peaking out and coming down in 2024. And so there is a level of excitement building, I think, in the US investor community. I personally think it will still be quiet in that Q1 period because it takes a while for, you know, people to evaluate deals and to think about them and get them to pencil in. And we're still, for all that we're optimistic on inflation coming down, we're still not sure that last mile isn't going to be a little bit more difficult than people currently think. But I do think interest rates are going to come down over the course of 2024. Even if it's not in Q1, I do think investors are going to start to deploy capital in real estate in the United States over the course of 2024, probably weighted to the back end of the year.
Yeah, that's really interesting in terms of investment sentiment, because if you do have those investors coming back into the market and it sort of starts well in Q1, that really sort of sets up the entire year, doesn't it? Just in terms of just turning the worm and having that strong positive sentiment around investment.
That's exactly right. And real estate deals, you know, they take about 6 months from inception to completion, but they can be done quicker. And I think once it, maybe one or two deals get done, and they might be able to be done quite quickly. You know, some of the big institutions can move extraordinarily fast. And I think we've had about 2 years of quiet. And I think it's not just a question of investors wanting to deploy capital. I think there are owners of real estate who have held on to their assets for too long and now see opportunities or the necessity to dispose of those assets. So they'll be motivated as well to sell. But once a few deals get done and the market gets to see where pricing has bottomed out, then I think it'll ramp up from that point onwards. I think it will be optimistic to see that in Q1, but it could happen. But it will build through the year.
And what about the commercial real estate space, just in terms of the way you think that that Q1 will play out? I know that there's sort of mixed feelings around office space at the moment. Not only office, we've also got the multifamily and hotels. I think that's a little bit on a rebound. What's your thoughts and thinking in those two areas?
Yes, I would say that the fundamentals in the United States real estate are actually very solid at the moment. We've had a little bit of increase in vacancy in multifamily, which is apartments for rent, apartment blocks, that's what that is. And we've had a little bit of an uptick in vacancy in the industrial sector, not really extensive. Those vacancy rates are going up to the long-run average, and no increase in vacancy in the retail sector. The part of the US real estate market which is really most depressed at the moment, and you did mention this, is the office sector. And we've seen vacancy, that is the amount of stock that isn't occupied or leased, go up from 12% to 20%, nearly 20%. In fact, it's the highest vacancy rate in US offices since the early 1990s. And we know what's behind that. It's the remote working and the hybrid working, which I think has been most extensive in the United States. I think people will drift back to the office over the course of the next several years and occupancy will go up. At the moment, companies are not able to get their workers back into the office very easily. So I think big American corporations have taken just an opportunity to reduce the amount of office space that they rent and they utilize. And of course, that means vacancy has gone up, as I said, from around 12% to around 20%. So very, very depressed conditions. Just would want to make one final nuance on that. When I talk about 12% to 20% vacancy, I'm talking about the whole office stock. If you look at the offices that have been built in the last 10 years, the vacancy is much closer to 14%. Companies are leasing space. They're leasing less than they used to, but they are leasing space. But it is in the modern space. It's the high amenity space. It's the best possible space that companies are leasing. So it's very much a bifurcated market. But overall, if you look at the national statistics, quite a high level of vacancy in the office sector.
Now, what about some of these areas where it's very depressed, the office space? Some of the investors are thinking, right, let's turn the office space into apartments, into livable space. Is there much evidence that you're seeing where the investors have just sort of put their hands up in the air and have said that it's just not happening at a fast enough rate, have to do something here, and these conversions are taking place?
Look, this is a big topic in the United States real estate now, and everybody who owns offices or are interested in cities or are interested in development are looking at the possibilities. I mean, it's just not that easy with the types of construction that the kind of 1980s, 1990s, big floor plan, glass and steel construction. It's just not that easy to convert that. Even where you've got more cellular office construction, the costs are very high of doing it. So I think people are looking at it and it is taking place, but it is a relatively small part of the overall stock that's being redeveloped. And I think there will have to be state intervention, either city government or state government or federal government. And they are doing this, provide tax breaks to accelerate that. Because I think there is a proportion of the office space no matter how optimistic you are about the office as part of the real estate landscape, there are a number of offices, quite a large proportion, maybe 10% of the office stock that is functionally obsolescent and won't ever go back to office use and either needs to be demolished and other uses built or converted. At the moment, the economics is not that easy. So I think some tax incentives are on their way to facilitate that, because that will the regeneration of commercial activity in the downtown areas of some American cities. Just as a final nuance, there is a tendency to think that offices will turn into residential, and that's quite right. We're short of residential in the United States. We're also seeing conversion with suburban offices into industrial and distribution space. So conversion is happening not just in the ways that you would first think, but in other ways as well. And it's, as I say, it can be a suburban thing and it can be office to industrial. Actually, there's quite a lot of that going on in some of the hotter industrial markets.
All right then, Richard. Well, we'll wrap it up there. Thank you so much for your time. I know that you've got a big team, 600 research experts, as we mentioned at the top. Thank you so much for this morning coming on to the US Property Podcast. Look forward to talking again soon.
Thank you. Bye.
While we can't predict the future of the real estate market, we can provide you with insights on what's currently trending. It's powerful information at your fingertips on the U.S. Property Podcast. From powerful and up-to-date news to professional real estate experts with the latest property trends, know your property with the U.S. Property Podcast.